Wow, thank you, Steve. I gave you a lot to read. I know my throat would be already going like that if I had to go that long. So A plus for you today. All right, very good. Praise the Lord for His Word. It's amazing just to, you know, it's so often you just read these through these, right? You just read through them and you just kind of continue on. And you don't really think about really what's all involved and just how Jesus showed His compassion and power and all of that. And, you know, you think, oh, yeah, but that was back in those days of Jesus. You know, today, no. Well, we're going to try to answer that question more for us today as well. Next, please. So winning combinations. Okay, I was just thinking on top of my head. I know, you know, if you look at these are one, you know, I got a variety, you know, the peanut butter and jelly. Yeah, that's one of mine. You know, spaghetti and meatballs, that's a winning combination, except for if you put some of this meat sauce on your shirt. Yeah, it still is okay, though. It's still okay, all right? And then, you know, you got the whole, quote, chocolate and peanut butter. Hello. Hello. All right, I know maybe somebody's allergic. I don't know. Okay, it's not that good, all right, for those people. All right, and then you got to switch. Okay, I did this for the kids, for the younger generation, you know. Mario and Luigi, okay, good combination there. Though I think I always went for Waluigi, right? I always liked racing him. And then, of course, okay, I think pretty much everybody knows Han Solo and Chewie Chewbacca. All right, and there's so many more combinations, you know, winning combinations. And so we think about that. So we think of, you know, the winning combination of Jesus' power and his compassion and how He turned the world around. Still does today in that too. Next, please. So today we're going to be looking at that a little bit closer. Confusion with the script. You know, if you look at the prophecies, and it's really just, you know, God, He's just writing the script, and Jesus is just following that script. All right? And so John the Baptist was also... the Holy Spirit was filled him as well, and he was following the script that God gave him. For John the Baptist, his script was more judgment and wrath, you know, the brimstone, fire, you know, bomb, hey, you get your lives in order, you know, repent and believe. Are you going to hell? You know. But Jesus, if you look back at that chapter 4, when he was talking, you know, he was in the synagogue in Nazareth, and he said this from the scriptures of Isaiah. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he stops right there. See, John the Baptist would have continued on because then it talks about the vengeance, the day of the vengeance of the Lord. But Jesus' ministry is different from John's. See, Jesus' ministry, his anointing for that time was to show compassion and mercy and to destroy the works of the enemy. That's what he was doing. And so when John the Baptist saw all these things, he's going, well, why aren't you just shooting fire down and getting these guys and, you know, destroying the Roman Empire and all that stuff? Come on. You know, and Jesus said, no, that is not the time. This ministry that I have now is to show compassion and mercy to the people, to use my power to destroy the works of the enemy and to do wonderful things like curing people and healing them and casting out demons and all that. And so he was actually, he sent John's disciples back to reassure him that, you know, kind of like, you know, things are different, John, but I'm still following the script. Things are still going forth the way they should. And hopefully John, excuse my voice, hopefully John took encouragement in that as well. Before we go on, let's pray and give this to the Lord. Father God, thank you. Even when we have our own hearts set on our own expectations. Thank you that you maintain and stay on that script that you had. That you did that for us. To fulfill all the prophets, all the law. You did it perfectly and completed it at the cross for us. And the grave couldn't even hold you. Because 3 days later you rose again to be seated at the right hand of God the Father. And you're working wonders even now. You are alive, as we say. You are alive, Jesus. Open our eyes to see what you're doing around us. Open our hearts to hear your voice. Open our ears to know your word more. Our hearts and minds, everything, Lord, to draw closer to you. And bless this time in your word. Guide and direct us, I pray, that you'll receive all the glory and praise in this, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Next, please. So compassion, you know, it's kind of, you know, a lot of people say, oh yeah, compassion, you know, oh yeah. You know, power, you know, power, you know, you can see it, you know, working in different ways and all that, but compassion's a little bit different. And I was looking up what a definition of compassion is, and I ran across this, and it really struck me very true here. It's to suffer together, all right? It's not really like empathy. It's a little bit different from empathy, but to suffer together. A feeling that arises when you are confronted with another's suffering and feel motivated to relieve it. And that last part is pretty important. Not only do you see it, but you're actually going to take action to try to relieve it. All right. A lot of times I sit there and I look at somebody and they got, you know, a huge, you know, all this stuff they're carrying and there's a door in front of them. Sometimes I just sit there and watch. And I say, I wonder how they're going to get that door open. This will be interesting. All right. And sometimes I clue in and go, oh, I can actually go over there and open it up for that person. And sometimes I'm just sitting there and kind of go, that's really a hard problem. What's this person going to do? You know, and, oh, he used his elbow. Oh, yeah, look at that. Or he used his foot or whatever. But, you know, so, you know, it's really being motivated to relieve it. You know, seeing it and actually doing something about it. Next, please. So, can power and compassion still impact our lives today? Can it still do it? I mean, Jesus was doing it back then. Is it still happening today? Well, that's what we're in the scriptures is, and we'll come to our conclusion later on. Next, please. So the centurion. You know, interesting. This centurion, if you look at what a centurion back then, a centurion is like an army captain for us today, okay? He would command at least 100 people, maybe less, more or less, depending on what's going on. He's a commander. He commands others. He's not somebody that just rushes into something, you know, but he's steady and reliable. All right? He's when things are really getting tough, he doesn't run away. He's the type of person that stands at his post and he's ready to die for the cause. A person of integrity and fortitude. And as we look here, you know, you can see this in this centurion. He's a different kind of a guy. He's not just one of these guys that are just hot-headed and just ready to take the world on or deal with people, you know, like they're nothing. You know, this guy had heart. He had something different about him. Next, please. So, against the norm, really. This centurion was pretty much against the norm. You know, he cared for a servant. Now don't forget, the servants back then or slaves. They were property. So when something wears out in your house, what do you usually do? Ting! As in Thai, we say ting! We throw it away. We chuck it. All right? Get rid of it. So, you know, when a servant is not doing well, they're ready to die like this servant was. Most of the people who own that slave will just say, well, throw him out in the streets. He's no good for me anymore. No use. And I'll get another servant. But no, the centurion saw the suffering. Remember the compassion? He saw the suffering. And then he wanted to relieve that suffering. And how he did that, what was he going to do? Well, he knew he couldn't do it on his own. But then he heard about Jesus. He probably heard about, maybe because he had a good relationship with the Jews, it looks like here, building a synagogue and all that. So and probably a lot of news is going around about Jesus. He probably heard about his power and his authority. And that he was compassionate himself. You know, he healed people, no matter who they were. And so he said, well, I got to send these guys. And he sent these Jewish friends of his over to Jesus. And, you know, and these guys were saying, well, hey, this guy, you know, Jesus, this guy deserves it. You know, he's a good guy. He's done this for us and that. And Jesus overlooked all that manipulation of those guys and really understanding, you know, nobody deserves anything good. We're humans. We're fallen people. But Jesus overlooked that. And then Jesus did not make a distinction between a Jew or a Gentile at that point either. See, in the Jewish law, it's a no-no for a Jew to come under a roof of a Gentile. That is really against the norm. Shouldn't be done. Right? It's like me rooting for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Oh, shouldn't be done, Vonda. Cowboys are coming. I know, I can feel the that. So against the norm. He's working against the norm. But he was ready. He was looking over to not worrying about what the Jewish people are saying. But I got a feeling Jesus was a little curious too, and says, "Oh, wow, the centurion, he actually cares for his servant who's dying. Oh, I got to see this. I got to meet this guy. This guy's not close. I mean, this guy's not far from the kingdom of heaven. I got a feeling, you know, that might have been going through his mind, and he probably knew that anyways. All this is planned anyways. Jesus knows. So he goes. And this is fulfilling this prophecy of Simon. Remember Simeon's prophecy back in chapter 2, 32? And it just shortened it here. I just said, you know, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. That's what the Savior is. That's who Jesus is. He was holding this baby Jesus who was being dedicated at the temple, holding him, and he was, you know, praying this prophecy over him. It's coming true. The Gentiles are seeing the light. It's coming. Next, please. So against the norm. You know, I know we go by rules and we like rules and we like these things. We put up laws and stuff like that, but there's times when we just need to show compassion. And I tell you something, a lot of times when you show compassion, it goes against the norm. It goes against the law sometimes of what man makes or regulations that we have. Jesus did it many times, even on the Sabbath, right? Against the Jewish, you know, laws on the Sabbath that they set up, the Pharisees, above and beyond what really is supposed to be. Jesus kept on healing because of his compassion for the people. So, with the centurion, we saw that he has this amazing faith, right? And this faith that, you know, he's saying authority. Remember I was talking about authority before? And how it's like this 18-wheel semi-truck coming down a hill towards an intersection at a high rate of speed. And you have a 150-pound police officer at that intersection. And he puts up his hand as that truck is barreling down at that intersection. He just puts up his hand. He says, stop. Because of that authority that is behind him, the semi stops. If he didn't have authority, there's a pancake right there. All right, let's put some chocolate chips on him. We got pancakes right there. All right, that's it. No, he has authority. And the centurion recognized that in Jesus. He knew he had authority. There's somebody behind him, right? Somebody in him. He didn't know that. Now, we don't know. I mean, and Jesus was amazed at his faith. And the only other time Jesus was amazed like that, you know when it was? If you look back at Mark chapter 6, verse 6, it says that he was amazed or astonished at the unbelief of the people of Nazareth in the synagogue. So it's kind of the opposite. He was amazed at this guy's faith. Now, we don't know what happened to the centurion. Did he stop short? You know, this amazing, his servant came alive. He's healthy again. Did he become like one of those 10 lepers that came back to thank Jesus? It doesn't say. We don't know if he gave his heart to Jesus. We don't know if he sought him anymore, or that was it. You know, maybe he stopped short of grace salvation. Then maybe there's something more in the future for him. We don't know. The widow of Nain is a little bit different too. Because she was, you know, this centurion, he had, you know, a lot of power and authority himself, right? And he was also humble. The widow, she was one of these people that were humbled. All right, she was a widow, so she lost her husband, I'm not sure when. And then she lost her only son. And in those days, if you don't have a male in your household, you don't have money coming in. It's hard for women to be able to make an earning on their own. So there's a lot of hardship there for her, difficult life ahead. Loss of the family line, oh, there's a lot of shame. Loneliness and grief. Can you just see that? And how they did their funerals. You know, she'd be walking in front of the coffin or the brier there. And it was probably an open casket, you know, probably on these wooden poles, and the body was on it as they were carrying them. And she was in front. And it read here that, oh, there's a large crowd. Because they knew her situation. They were showing compassion. They were there to support her. Because this was a very difficult time. The low of lows, most likely, for her. No way out. No future. No nothing. And then Jesus, you know, from Capernaum, where he was with the centurion, to Nain is a day's journey. Why was he going there? I don't know. I know. God knows. There's a plan. It's divine. He knew this was happening. That's what I believe. And he, as he came into that city, who did he meet? He met the widow. He saw her. He heard her crying. He heard the cries. Sobbing, and he saw her, and he saw what was happening in this funeral procession, that there was this young man that was dead, and they were taking him out to the tombs. So did he just keep on going on? Oh, that's, can't open up the door? Oh, sorry about that. I got some other business. I got to go on. Stuff like that. Oh, sorry for you. Just don't. That's about all I can do for you. No, Jesus had the power to do something, right? He had the power. And he had the compassion. He wanted to relieve her suffering. So all he did, he came up and he, Jesus, watch out. Next, please. Next, please. See, he was anointed to bring good news to the poor. Remember that? Jesus touched the coffin or the briar. Unclean, against the rules. Jesus, stop it. Don't show compassion anymore. It's illegal. But Jesus says, not worried about that. I'm concerned with this widow, the mother, and her child. I'm willing to touch. He didn't have to, because, you know, the healing for the centurion's servant, he didn't even come close to that servant. He didn't even touch that. He didn't even speak a word of healing. It was done by the power of the Holy Spirit, his power going out from him. This time, he touched. And then he spoke those words, young man, I say to you, get up. And the young man returned to life. Power, compassion, changing lives. Elijah did the same thing as a foreshadow of what Jesus did on that day. Elijah, there is a woman that, you know, he prayed for her. She didn't have any children, and she had a child, this boy. And this boy fell sick and died, and she ran to meet him, and he didn't know what was going on. And then he found out that her son died, and he went over there. He touched that dead body, which he shouldn't do. And prayed, and God brought his life back. Jesus' power and compassion is awesome. It's a winning combination. It's world-changing. World-changing for the widow and her son, right? World-changing for the centurion and the servant who he really valued. Life-changing. Next, please. See, Jesus is in the changing. He's in turning all the things that this world has come under corruption of our sin, and it turned upside down. But he's into turning it right back side up the way it should have been, the way it was at the very beginning when everything was perfect. Life-changing power. His power overcomes the sickness, the sin, the death. He reunites loved ones. He hears the cry of the sorrowful. Compassion and power combined are a winning combination for these people. Next, please. So what about today? Is it still there? Can we still do it? I mean, Jesus, where are you? Where are you? We are image bearers of Jesus Christ. He's right here, inside. And if you really are a follower of Jesus, you have that Holy Spirit power in you. So people say, well, where does the power come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit, not you. I was reading in a psalm earlier this morning saying, you know, we didn't defeat, you know, the Israelites, you know, there's one of the psalmists saying, you know, we didn't defeat these guys by our own sword or strength. It was you. It was you, Father. You're the one that defeated. You're the one that went before us. You're the ones that took them down. It wasn't us. Same thing here. It's not us. It's the Holy Spirit in us that empowers us. And he gives us a couple more weapons as well. That power to use the Word of God and prayer. And we were talking about that this morning too, how important prayer is. As we pray the will of God, following what He has, nothing can stand in the way. Nothing can thwart the plans or the will of God. We are to pray with His will, by His will, and see Him do world-changing things in the lives of the people around us. Next, please. Compassion. comes from God's love for us as we come to know Him more. And remember, you know, that scripture about, you know, oh, that you can just grasp, have the power to grasp with all the saints how great His love for us, how wide and high and long and deep it is for us. As we come to know His love for us more and more, you know what? It becomes easier to love others. That's the way I feel. The more I understand His love for me, the more times I'll open up that door for that person to love others. Humility, like the centurion's humility. You know, he showed a lot of humility. Not just towards for Jesus and stuff, but he showed humility towards his servant, you know, his kindness, putting his servant above himself, you know, going to all that effort. Obedience is that compassion. Obedience to the Lord, to His Word. All that. So when people say, well, just is there power and compassion? Can we do it still today? Yes, the answer is yes. We have the power and there is compassion. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to move through us. We need to get connected with God and His love, and that we can share that love with the people around us. In His power, not ours, but His. Next, please. So the question is, do you see? Do you see the people around you? Do you see somebody stumbling, having a hard time? Do you hear somebody crying out for help? Somebody grieving? Somebody weeping? Somebody having huge difficulties? Take action. See, Jesus, you know, we're to be His image. We're to follow what He did. As He kept on moving, and He didn't pass up the people that needed help. He was there. You know, and as you read the Word, you know, all the people who came to Him were healed. Not one did He say, oh, sorry, I can't heal you. I don't like it. You are not good enough for me. Or you're not tall enough. You don't have enough money. No. Everybody was healed that came to Jesus. He wants us to be people who bring healing in the lives of the people around us. And to take action, to see it, and to actually do something about it. You know, to enter into their suffering. It's not easy. This is challenging for me. Because if you put a scale up here from 0 to 10 about compassion, you know where I would fall? 3. I still got a long ways to go there. A long ways to go. I don't know about you. But it's so critical for us to show compassion to other people, to see it and not to walk by it, but to enter into their suffering and to take action, to do what we can to help them. And remembering where the power is coming from, not just in our own strength, but what He gives us. To come to Him, to pray. You know, so important to pray over those people around us, our family, our neighbors, our co-workers, our classmates, praying for them. And opportunities to present the Word to them, to share Jesus with them. That brings healing. That shows compassion. Because they're dying. They're going to eternity without Christ. Next, please. I'll tell you a story. You probably know this story. Titanic story. Do you know this guy named John Harper? He was a pastor. He was on that Titanic on that fateful day that it hit an iceberg, going down, sinking in the water. Cold water. Oh, man. I like the warm stuff in Thailand myself. And this is cold stuff. So he was in the water holding on to something floating around there. They're hoping to get saved, most likely. And there's a young man, and the waves kind of moved him over. And he said to this young man, he says, hey, do you know the Lord? Have you been saved? And the young man says, no, I have not. And he says, well, Call upon the name of the Lord and believe and be saved. And then the waves kind of carried him off a little bit there. And then as time went on, the waves brought him back to that young man again. And he says, young man, have you been saved yet? And he goes, no. He says, and as the waves are carrying him away again, he said, hey, believe unto the Lord and be saved. Call upon his name. And as he was carried off, John Harper, the depths of the cold sea, the ocean just pulled him down. And he ended up into the arms of his Christ, his Savior, Jesus. But that young man, just in the right time, there was a rescue boat. And they say that 4 years later, or was it 4 years? I think it was 4 years later, they had one of these reunions in Ontario, Canada. And these people were given testimonies. And his testimony was, yeah, John Harper. Yeah, he gave me two challenges to believe unto the Lord. The first one I rejected. The second one I received. And just then, he was rescued by one of those little boats. And he was able to be there to give witness. And that he was the last convert of John Harper. See, that's compassion. He knows he was in trouble. He wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about that young man. And that power, you know what the power was? Well, it was the Holy Spirit. But that love for that young man. And the word of God being spoken, just so simple, you know, believe unto the Lord, call upon his name, and believe on him, and you will be saved. Simple, right? Simple? Do you say think so? Simple? Yeah, entering in other people's suffering is not simple. It's not easy. But we're called, because God has given us a life to live. He has given us a purpose. Each one of us, we're all part of this body of Christ, and we all have different giftings and experiences. We are to use them, and we are to show compassion to others with the power of Christ and see their lives change as we pray for them, as we speak the word to them, as we love them, even when they're so unlovable. Next, please. So remember Jesus' words here. As it slowly comes on the screen here. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Let's pray. Lord God, again, we come before you rejoicing and praising you, thanking you for this word. Thank you for the reminder and the challenge to be obedient unto your word. And to give our lives, to give of our lives and what you have given us, to show that compassion with the power of Christ in us, that other people will be turned from the darkness and come into the light and the kingdom of light of Christ. So Lord, we pray that you'll just guide us, remind us day to day, moment to moment, Lord. Help us to not look away from those who are needing help, but when they are in our lives and we see it, we hear it, Lord, help us to take action. Guide us and direct us with that, Lord. What does that action look like? And help us to be a blessing to others, that many more will be saved just like we are. Just like that young man was saved on those icy waters. We praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of his people say, amen. Amen.